Okay. Parshas Tetzave, Parshas Zochar, Erev Purim, busy Shabbos, busy week. Okay. So I think I'm going to go a little bit out of order because I wanted to say something about Purim, which I'd rather say when everybody's here, and then I'll go back to Tetzave afterwards. Fair enough? Yeah. So maybe I'll start with Purim and work my way backwards. Fair enough? Okay. 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 The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, Megillah nikreis ba'achad also, b'shneim also, b'shroisha also, b'arba also, b'chamisha also, le'pachas v'yaisim. The Mishnah Megillah can be read on the 11th of Adar, the 12th, 13th, 14th, and in Shushan, in the cities Mekavos Chaimah, on the 15th, not earlier, and not later. Of course, the Gemara goes through the whole sugya, how we know the Megillah can be read earlier, Yom HaKenisa, the day the people gather in the cities, Purim is on Yedalin, Shushan Purim is on Tezvav. But the Sefer Briskun HaSoilom says very deep insight. And he says, Purim, we know that in the Megillah, Hashem's name is not mentioned once. HaMelech alludes to Hashem, but outright in the Megillah, it doesn't say Hashem's name at all. And that really refers to the idea that as the Nes of Purim developed, Hashem's hand was not obvious. It was all up here, Hateva. Everything looked like natural events were occurring. Achshverosh had a party, get angry at Vashti, Vashti was killed, chooses a new queen, Haman rises in Achshverosh's eyes, becomes the prime minister, and the events play out natural. No supernatural miracles happen. Hashem is hidden behind the scenes in the Megillah. Only if one opens his eyes is he able to see Hashem's hand behind the scenes, behind everything that happens. If you add up, you take Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet and Tezvav, higher mathematics, and you add 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15, anybody, what do you get?
Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet.
Yud Aleph. You play the Megillah on these days. You play the Megillah on 11, 12, 65. It's 65. Shem Vashem Admos, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, 65. Nun is 50, Yud is another 10 is 60, Dalet and Aleph is 5, it's up to 65.
It's 11, 12, 14.
11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15. It's 65.
Briskunas Bible.
It is up to 65. 65 is the name of Hashem. Step 1. Step 2, oh, not far from finished yet. Leipachos v'leyaisen. You can't write the Megillah earlier or later. What's a day earlier than the 11th? The 10th. What's a day later than the 15th? 16th. What's 10 and 16?
26.
Yud Kevavke. Shema Vaya. 26. Wow. Something's happening here. Shema Vaya. Yud Kevavke. It's 10 and 16. You can only write the Megillah on those days because that represents the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But not 10 and 16, which represent the Shem Havaya. Why? Because the Shem Adnos represents Hashem, so to speak, in this world, where things are hidden. We don't see clearly the Yad Hashem, where Hashem's name is hidden. How do we pronounce Hashem's name in this world? We don't say Yud Kevavke. We don't say that Yud Kevavke. We say Adnos. This will say Adnos. When things run Api Olam Hazeh, Derech HaTeva, that's the Shem of Adnos. When things run miraculously, that's the Shem Havaya. Things are running supernaturally, that's the Shem Havaya. Purim, the whole Nes of Purim, is a Nes that happened up here, Hashem's name hidden. It wasn't miracle. The Yamsuf didn't split. There wasn't any miraculous thunder and lightning. The skies opened up. There wasn't a 10 Makis. You didn't have the miracles. It was all up here. That's represented by the Shem of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Therefore, you can read the Megillah, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav, because that represents the Shem Adnos, which is Derech HaTeva. But not earlier, not later, Yud Kei Vav Kei, because that represents already miracles, that represents supernatural Nisim, which does not apply on Purim, and therefore you're laying the Megillah earlier only on those days in between. The whole idea of Purim is that through natural events, Hashem was pulling the strings, running the story, and only one who opens his eyes puts the pieces together and sees clearly what happened. But the Mishnah says, HaKaryas HaMegillah Mafreya Lo Yotza. One who reads the Megillah Mafreya, he's not Yotza. Paul Shepshat, he reads the Megillah backwards. You read the last Pasuk first, or the last Perek first, you read it out of order. Chaykas, Pasuk backwards, but if you read the Megillah out of order, he's not Yotza. Why? If you read it out of order, you don't have the whole story. doesn't fit together. But of course, the famous pshat that everyone says over, Kohes Megillah Mafreya. One who reads the Megillah, Mafreya. And only after he reads the whole Megillah, he says, oh, now I understand. Now I see that Hashem was running the world the entire time. When I have the whole story from Perek Aleph to Perek Yud, now I look back. Oh, now I understand why this happened. Now I understand why that happened. But while it was happening, if a person feels, I don't understand, Chas V'Shalom, Hashem's not watching over us. It's only at the end. Oh, now I understand. Now, looking back, I understand that Hashem was watching us the whole time. Somebody who only realizes that Hashem is watching over us when the whole story is revealed to him. But as he's going through it, he doesn't realize, he doesn't feel that Hashem is watching over him. The lesson of Purim is that even in our daily activities, our everyday life, where the world's running with what we call Derech HaTeva, we have to realize that Hashem is watching over us every step of the way. Sometimes we're zeich, and Hashem opens our eyes, and we can see the whole picture. Sometimes we're not zeich, we don't see the whole picture. But we have to realize, as we're in the picture, as we're living it, that Hashem is watching over us. Not, oh, now I understand what happened. But as we're living it through, we have to understand that Hashem is watching over us. The Chasam Sofer learns, HaKarias HaMegillah Mafreya Lo Yotza. If someone says that the Nisim that Hashem did for us, that Hashem watches over us, is only a Mafreya. It happened once upon a time, in the times of Mordechai and Esther and Achashverosh, that's when these Nisim happened. But today, such Nisim can't happen. Such events can't happen. Lo Yotza is not Yotza. The lesson of Purim is that it happened then, and it shows us that Hashem is watching over us all the time, even today, in today's generations. And one has to believe that even though we don't understand all the events, the world events that are happening around us, still Hashem is controlling and every step is being played out according to Hashem's plan. And one day, hopefully we'll be zeicher to see the entire picture. But we have to understand that Nisim can happen today the same way they happened at the time of Purim. But one who says, it's only a Mafreya. That could only happen back then, once upon a time. But Nisim can't happen today. Purim is that even though we're living in the world, Alpi Derech HaTeva, things that seem to be running naturally, we have to have the emunah and open up our eyes to see that Hashem is running the world. And Bechlal, if you look back at the Megillah, every step that Haman took ended up helping us out. Whatever Achashverosh's plan was, he killed Vashti. He thought it was for himself. That ended up bringing in Esther, helping us. Haman prepares the gallows for Mordechai. Alayta Sheheichen Loi. The Gemara says, Heichen Loi means for him, not for Mordechai. Because Haman prepared it for himself. Whatever step the Rishayim took, ends up for us. And that's the way it is in every generation. Oh, whatever the Rishayim do, and they think they're doing it for themselves, Hashem says, no. You think you're doing it for yourself? I'm going to show you that everything's going to turn around, and whatever you prepared is only to help, Kal Yisrael. But we have to have that amuno that Hashem is watching over us, even though we don't always see it. Yehudim had ayra, light, ayra zotayra, simcha, sasoin, happiness, rejoicing, v'yikar. What does the word v'yikar mean? What does v'yikar mean? Kavod, chashiva, respect.
It's the tagline, l'kavod is v'yikar.
Says the Chiddush HaRim, v'yikar is a lashon chashivus, a lashon of something that's important to chashiv. And he says, simcha, v'sasoin, v'yikar. You have to treat the simcha with chashivus. Purim is a day of simcha. It doesn't mean simcha free-for-all. You have to value the simcha. You have to treat the simcha the proper way. If you machshav the simcha. When you understand the simcha is that I'm a yid, Hashem is watching over us. The simcha is I'm zoicha to serve Hashem. You machshav the simcha, it changes the whole picture. It's not just a day where everyone's walking around happy. You have to understand why you're happy. You have to respect, you have to treat the simcha with chashivas.
Perfect.
In the Vardik, they would say, the Veltz is over, have a Freilich HaPurim, and a Kosher and Pesach. In the Vardik, they would say, Pumfaka, just the opposite. Have a Kosher and Purim, and a Freilich and Pesach. Why? Purim, you have to be careful with the simcha. You have to watch the simcha, not to let the simcha get out of hand. Have a kosher and Purim. Make sure the Purim, you act kosher, you act properly. Don't let the hoyel as a simcha. Be a mensch, be careful. And Pesach, freilich. How can you not be freilich on Pesach? Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, v'yitzesi, v'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Hashem took us out, v'yisim li'om. How could there not be simcha on Pesach? So they would say, in the Vedic, have a kosher and Purim, and a freilich on Pesach. And the truth is, that's how I wanted to end off tonight, the Kashrim Purim. But because we're off schedule, we did Purim first, we'll go back now to Pashas, to Pashas itself. Okay. So if anyone wants to go to Daven Maariv,
yeah, we have 3 moments.
Okay. No problem. Okay.
They'll have a minion with us.
Yeah. Please go on. Okay. So I'm being perfectly honest, since today was the time and everyone's schedule was off, I didn't have so much time to prepare to Tzava, so I really just took some old Devei Torah and
you're allowed to do that.
I'm allowed to do it? Okay.
Rabbi Reisner said you could say it in the same time.
Okay, alright, so Mustama, if you remember it, it's because Hataka said them already. But I think that these Mishalma stories are very Kedai. So start from the beginning. The Pasuk says in Chof Tes, Pasuk is in Perik Chof Tes, Pasuk Mem Hei. And I will rest among Bnei Yisrael, and I'll be for you, Elokim, for Hashem. I'll rest among Bnei Yisrael. So the Dulu Magid's marshal, famous marshal, we'll say it over anyway. The king was once traveling with his soldiers and the whole entourage through the forest. And as the king is traveling, the clouds come over the sky. The sky turns dark. It starts to snow. And it snows. The stones, yeah. Okay. And the king and his soldiers realize that they can't continue much longer. The snow is coming down very heavily. A blizzard, they can hardly see in front of them. The snow is gathering. It's coming deeper on the ground. And one of the soldiers looks and he sees a light far ahead. He says to the king, oh, there must be some kind of a house. We'll travel in the direction of the light and we'll spend the night there until the storm passes. And they travel towards the light. Turns out to be an inn. They find this little rundown inn in the middle of the forest. And the king pulls up with the soldiers. The soldiers go inside and he explains to the innkeeper that the storm, and the king is here. Basically, whatever accommodations you have, we need, but, you know, do your best. Clean it, fix it. And the innkeeper quickly calls whoever's available and they start cleaning the rooms and they prepare the inn as best as they can. And the king comes and he stays there with his whole entourage overnight until the storm passes. After the storm is over, the king thanks him, says goodbye, the king travels on. The innkeeper has a brilliant idea. Now he has a great advertisement to attract people to his inn. He puts up a big sign, the king stayed here. George Washington slept here, right? The king stayed here. Puts up a big sign, the king slept here. And anybody who passes through, he says to them, you know who slept here? You know who spent the night here? The king stayed here. And he starts advertising how great his inn is as a king stayed here. Until one person says to him, Mary says, you think the king stayed here because he wanted to stay here? If the king had a choice, believe me, he would have passed right by and gone somewhere else. The only reason the king stayed here was because he had no other choice. There was nowhere else to go. Says the Dunno Magid. Hashem says, I'm not like that. I want to rest among Bnei Yisrael. It's not that I'm here because I have nowhere else to go and I'm stuck. Fakat. Hashem says, I chose you. From the Ovois, you have schusim, I chose you, v'shachanti, I want to rest among you. Be proud of it. You can advertise that the king slept here, the king was here, v'shachanti, so I want to rest among Bnei Yisrael. I don't remember who says the word, but if you look at the words Bnei Yisrael, the word Bnei ends with the Yud, and the word Yisrael starts with the Yud. Yud Yud is Hashem's name. Aremez, v'shachanti, misrech Bnei Yisrael. And Hashem's name is in Bnei Yisrael. And the words Bnei Yisrael, Bnei ends with the Yud, Yisrael starts with the Yud, two Yuds together, spell Hashem's name, Aremez, that the Shechina is with us. The pasuk ends off, V'hayisi lochem lochem, be to you for Hashem. The Pnei Menachem, the Gerer, Pnei Menachem says a beautiful word. We say three times a day, Ashrei Yoshua Bezecha, Oidi Yahalu Chasel. What's tied to the pasuk? Praise to those who sit in your house, Oid Yahalu Chasel. What's the Oid? Yahalucha, they'll praise you, Selah, forever. What's Oid? Also, they'll continue. What's the Oid? What's Oid Yahalucha? And the Pnei Menachem says beautifully, imagine a king of flesh and blood, boss of them. Those people that are far away from him, admire him. Look at the king. Look at the president. But the closer they get to him, they begin to see his flaws. They begin to see his mishigasin. his idiosyncrasies, whatever it might be, and they realize he's not exactly the way he looks from far away.
Twitter.
Those are the people that are a little bit closer. Those that are in the inner circle, even closer, they know that as much as we know how really Meshuggah, and we know how really Meshuggah he is, and we know really what goes on, and all his faults, and all his deficiencies. And those that mamish are in the room with him, and they have the daily meetings with him, they know the truth. It turns out the closer one is to the king, the further they feel. They feel there's no need to praise him. Those that praise him are the ones that are far away and don't really know him. By us, it's just the opposite. Ashrei Yoshvei Be'Secha, Oy Dehaluch HaSeva. Forget. We come, we daven. We sit in Hashem's house. The more we come to Hashem's house, the more we spend time with Hashem, we realize how great Hashem is. Oy Dehaluch, want to praise Hashem more and more and more. The more time we're Yoshvei Be'Secha, we sit in your house, Oy Dehaluch HaSeva, we want to praise you more and more and more, we realize how great Hashem is. V'shechanti V'seich Bnei Yisrael V'yisi Lehem Elokim. The more Hashem is with us, I'll be for them with Elokim, because we realize the greatness of Hashem. The pasuk says, "Ve'ela ha'begadim asher yasu." These are the begadim that we make for the kohen gadol. And we know the Gemara in Erechin Daf Tezayin. The Gemara tells us that each of the big day kahuna was mechaper for a specific avera, and the meir was mechaper for the avera of lashon hara. The meir, the bells rang as the kohen gadol walked. The bells ringing are a remes to speech, to noise, talking. The me'el is a kapara for lashon hara. Chavetz Chaim, this is well known, goes through the me'el and explains how each part of the me'el is a kapara or a remes to one aspect of speech or one aspect of lashon hara. The me'el was made of what material? The me'el was made of tcheles. Rashi tells us at the end of Parshas Shirach, tzitzis will call it tcheles. Why tcheles? Tcheles is diamond to the rakia, to the sky. The color of the sky is similar to the kisei hakavod. It's a remez to the kisei hakavod. So when the kohen gadol wore the me'il, the color was tcheles. How does a person hold himself back from speaking lashon hara? He has to remember kisei hakavod. He has to remember the remnants of the me'il that Hashem is watching over him, and he has to realize that Hashem gave him the power of speech, and a person has to use his power of speech for the right way, not for the wrong things. The pasuk says by the me'il, Sofa Yil of fifth Sovid. There was an edge around the me'il. What does the edge represent? Like the Gemara tells us, that Hashem created for a person's mouth two walls, or two edges around the person's mouth. There's a wall of bone and a wall of flesh. What's the wall of bone? The teeth. And what's the wall of flesh? The lips. Before a person speaks, he has to open his mouth. Your teeth have to open, and your lips have to open. Hashem says, I created two walls around the person's mouth. The lips and the teeth. And even so, a person is not careful what he says. So the edge around the me'il is a remnant to the edge that Hashem gave us around our mouth, the bone, the teeth, and the flesh, the lip, as two guards around the mouth to prevent us from speaking lashon hara. The me'il was kfi sachris aviv, was made like armor. Just like somebody wears armor is protected, so to a person's mouth is a kayach to protect him. A person who is careful and doesn't speak lashon hara, and he holds himself back and doesn't answer back, he's zeichet the great tzchusim that protect him and protect the whole world. Like it says, Toila Eretz Ablima. The world exists because of those who don't answer back when somebody insults them or somebody embarrasses them. We know when it comes, and we have the reminder of the Pamayim, and the Ba'am the Me'il are the reminder of the pomegranates and the bells. The pomegranates are quiet, they didn't make noise. The Pamayim made noise. Again, a remnant. You have to know when to make noise and when not to make noise. A person has to know when to speak, what to speak, how to speak. And there are times it's better off if a person is quiet. And the pasuk ends off, the nishma kailoi bevoyel ha-kaidish. That when Aaron HaKayin went into the Kaidish HaKadoshim, he went into the Mishkan, his voice was heard, the me'il was heard, the bells rang. As a remnant, as the one who taka washes himself and does not speak lashon hara, his zaycha v'nishma kailoi. His tefilos will be heard when he comes to Lakaish, he comes into the base of Knesset. He comes into the base of Medrash to Davin, his tefilos will be heard. Like Befrat, right before Purim. Purim is a kayach of tefilos, a power of tefilos that exists on Purim, that the Sfarim bring down does not exist the whole year round, and a person has the ability to mispalo on Purim, and his tefilos are on the Kobol. The Pasuk says in Perik Chav Tes, Pasuk Chav Hei,
for kachta oisam miyadom veiktarta hamizbeichem.
I just mentioned it. Purim is a day of tefillah. That's all. Mishpat Kailah is a day of tefillah. V'lakachta oisa miyodom v'yektarta hamizbecha. Perik choftes posik chofhei. You should take from the kayin and you burn the chalav and the fats on the mizbeach. The posik says you burn the mizbeach l'Hashem. And the Mishnah in Zvachim says l'Hashem means l'shmoy shel machem, for Hashem's name. When the kayin burns the carbon on the mizbeach, it has to be l'shmo. He has to know which carbon it is, who's bringing the carbon for Hashem to do the mitzvahs properly, reich nechayach, to bring pleasure to Hashem, to burn it on a fire. The Mishnah gives a list of what the kohen has to have in mind when he brings a carbon. Tefillah today is in place of karbanos. When Hashem performs for Seinu, we don't have today karbanos. We have tefillah instead. A person when he davens with kavana accomplishes the same as bringing a carbon. And the story with the Ben Ishchai says over, we said over him a few times, but always a nice story. There was a Yid, Elach Yid, he's walking through the outskirts of the town, and he's a little bit down on his luck, a little bit down on his mazel, needs a little parnasa. And he's walking through the outskirts of the town, and he passes by the bar, the tavern on the edge of the town. And he hears loud voices coming from the bar inside. And as he walks by, he notices sitting around one of the tables are a bunch of Yidden. Not from the best type, but there are a bunch of Yidden sitting around the table, gambling.
Children at risk.
And at first he decides to pass by. And then he says, no. And if Hashem sent me to this spot at this time that I should see them, maybe it's my job to go in and to try to talk to them, and maybe I can give them a little musr and make them see the evil of their ways. So he decides to go in. He walks right over to the table. You know the story. He walks right over to the table and he asks them what they're doing. And they explain to him how to play the game and the gambling. And he says to them, don't you know how gambling is looked down upon? The Mishnah says that one who gambles is possible Eidos. He says to them, do you know if you would come to Bezdin to testify in Bezdin, they won't be able to accept your testimony, your possible Eidos. Sachek Bekovio. And the Mishnah calls you, you're not busy with settling the world, with helping out the world. You're not doing a constructive activity. What kind of Mishnah looks down on you? How Bezdin looks down on you? How society looks down at you? And he talks to them for a while, and he gets through to them. And they tell him, you know what? We hear you. We'll try to stop. And since we know that we're wrong, take all the money on the table and use it for whatever you need. If you need it for yourself, gesunte hate, take the money and use it. We're giving it all away to Tzedakah. You can use the money for yourself. Thanks them very much. And he walks out. He feels good. Hopefully he accomplished something. A year goes by. A year later, he's walking by the same spot again. And again, he's a little bit tight on Parnassah. And he passes by the bar. And again, he just looks through. And the same people are sitting by the same table, gambling, playing again. And he walks by. He says, 1 minute! Hashem, you sent me the answer. Last year, I gave him a whole drasha, and they paid me very nicely. I need money again. No problem. I'll go into the bar. I'll give him a drasha, and they'll pay me very nicely. I'll earn my money. He goes into the bar. Remember me? Yeah. They sit down. They start talking. He gives him a drasha. I thought you were going to change. But you should know a person can do tshuva. You can come back again. It's never too late. And he gives him a whole speech. And finally, he finishes. And he's waiting for the offer. He's waiting for the money on the table. No offer, nothing at all. He gets up, he's ready to leave, nothing at all, and he walks out empty-handed. He's very depressed. Last year, he earned his full salary, and this year, he wasn't paid at all. So he mentions it to the Rav, the story, and he says to the Rav, can you explain to me what happened? How come last year I went in, and they paid me very nicely, and this year I went in, and I struck out? And the Rav says to him, Pashat, because last year you did it l'shma. Last year when you walked by, you went into the bar, you really felt you wanted to help them, you wanted to help them do tshuva, you did it l'shem shemayim. It was done l'shem shemayim. They felt it also l'shem shemayim. You had an effect on them, so they agreed and they wanted to give you tzedakah for what you did. This year, what was your kavana when you walked by? Your kavana was you needed a few dollars. Your kavana was that you figured they'll pay you for it. Your kavana was just to earn the money. The words didn't penetrate the way it did last year. It didn't have the same effect. It wasn't l'shma. Therefore, they didn't offer you, and your words didn't help the way it did last year. Says Ben Ishchai, the same is true. L'shma and shalai l'shma. It's true. B'tach shalai l'shma, b'ay l'shma l'shma. A person should always do a mitzvah shalai l'shma, ultimately the goal is to come to Lishma. He shouldn't hold back. But Avada, a person has to realize there's a world of a difference between doing a mitzvah Lishma for the sake of the mitzvah, for the sake of Hashem, and doing it Shulay Lishma. Especially when it comes to a Purim, a day of so many mitzvahs, person takes a minute. I'm doing the mitzvah Lishma for the sake of the mitzvah, for the sake of Hashem. It's worth a lot more than someone who just does the mitzvah to have a good time. A little Lishma goes a long way. And that's one lesson to learn from the parasha. Just end off with one other story from the Ben Ishchai, but that will stop. In Perik Chav Tes, Pasuk Tes Zayin, the Pasuk says, "Wakachta es domoy." You take the dam and the chaylev of a carbon. What's brought on the mizbeach? What parts go on the mizbeach? The dam, the blood, the zriga. We spritz the blood. We put the chaylev, the fats, the emurim, or the fats are burnt on the mizbeach. The dam and the chaylev. It says the Ben Ishchai, dam and chaylev. He tells over the story, which again, one famous story. There was a Talmud Chacham. He used to learn every morning. Every morning he would go to the Beis Medrash, he would sit and he would learn. And he had a store. In the morning his wife took care of the store, and he would come in the afternoon, and he would help out in the store in the afternoon. But he told his wife, in the morning when he's learning, under no circumstances should she disturb him for any matters of business whatsoever. The morning is time to learn. The afternoon he helps out in the store. And under no circumstances should he be disturbed in the morning. Nope. By he ayoyim, it comes one day. She's managing the store in the morning. In walks a very important customer, and he wants to buy a large amount of merchandise. He starts haggling with her about the price, and he wants to make a tremendous deal. And she says, "I'll tell you the truth. I really can't make the deal with you. My husband will be the one to deal with." "Where's your husband?" "He's not going to be back until the afternoon." And the customer says, "I can't wait. I'm sorry, but I have to leave. If your husband comes now, we'll make a deal. If not, I have to leave." And she says, "I'm sorry, I can't call him. I can't disturb him." He comes back in the afternoon. She tells him the story. He says, "What? Such a customer with a large order was waiting. He didn't call me? From now on, if any customer comes and needs me in the morning, make sure to call me right away." The next day he goes to learn, and who shows up by the store? The tax collector shows up by the store. The IRS shows up by the store. "We need to speak to your husband right away. We have to make a deal with him." We came to collect. "Oh," she says, "no problem. Want to speak to my husband? No problem." She runs to the base of medrash and she calls her husband. When he comes back and he finds out the tax collector is waiting for him, He says to her, "Nari," he says, "you mixed it all up. Yesterday, when he should have called me to make it for the customer, you didn't. And now you have to call me for the tax collectors." Says the Ben Ishchai, the same is true. Every person has dam and chaylev, has blood and chaylev. There are two types of mitzvahs. There's the mitzvahs asay, the mitzvahs that we're supposed to do, the positive mitzvahs, and the lois asay, the mitzvahs that we're not supposed to do. The asay we should do with zrizus. Person should do it with a little excitement, not just sitting back. A lois asay, when it comes to being oivin aveira, fakert. A person should be as lazy as he can before he does the aveira. When the etzahara comes to you and says, "Do the aveira," sit back, relax, don't be in any rush to do it. What do? We're just the opposite. It comes to the asay, what happens? We get lazy. Time to do the mitzvah, time to go to shul, time to, take our time. We'll get there eventually, we're a little bit lazy. It comes to do the aveira, on the other hand, sometimes we're so excited about the aveira, we do it with a little excitement, we're not so lazy. Dam represents zrizus. The blood flows through the body, the body represents the zrizus. Chelev, the fat, is what slows down a person. It represents the atzus, slowing down a person. We use our dam and our chelev the wrong way. We're supposed to use the blood, the zrizus, for the mitzvah saseh. Instead, sometimes we do use the dam for the aveira. We're supposed to use the chelev, being lazy, sitting still, when it comes to doing an aveira. Instead, we use the chelev when it comes to the aseh, we hold ourselves back. Therefore, from a carbon, what parts we put on the mizbeach? The dam and the chelev. The dam is a kapara for our dam that we did not use the right way, and the chelev is a kapara for our chelev that we did not use the right way. Because after all, one who's a carbon, it's like he himself is being put up on the mizbeach. It's like it's my dam, my chelev, because I need a kapara for the way that I, for what I did. Okay, so Bevis, I wanted to end off with Purim, but we reversed the order tonight because of Mariv and the schedule. We're a little bit off schedule tonight. Just end off with one short word about Purim. Where's the word? Ben Ishchai is both. Famous Gemara Megillah, that Rabbi Shechter Reb Zeira, or the other way around? Rabbi Shechter Reb Zeira, I think. Gemara Megillah, was the head of the Yeah, he drank. Rabbi went ahead and Shechter Reb Zeira. Everybody asks on the Gemara and so on. The many different shotim. The Meir Noyam says something so powerful. says, what's the Gemara teaching us? What's the end of the Gemara? He was mispalel. Chayim Esim, he brought him there, he brought him back to life. Says the Imrei Noyim, you know what the Gemara is teaching us? That on Purim, one is the kayach with his tefillah to be Mechayim Esim. So strong is the kayach of tefillah on Purim, a person could accomplish what he can't accomplish a whole year round. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. The kayach of tefillah that a person has on Purim. So even though Purim is a busy day and everybody's busy and we're supposed to be busy and we're supposed to do all the mitzvos hayoyim, but in between the few minutes that we have, don't waste it. A person says, set aside a little time to learn, set aside time to daven, extra tehillim and extra tefillah. Tefillah goes a long way. And forget, since the day is so powerful, the kayach is so powerful, it's harder to really use it. It's covered over with all the mitzvos hayoyim that we're so busy with that we don't find time. But this year, we'll say there's an extra hour in the day. Not really true, but somehow we lose the hour. But somewhere the day is a little bit longer. So when maybe a little extra time between all the running around to breathe a little bit, say a tefillah, be mispalel. Purim has a kayach of tefillah that we don't have a whole year round. Kosh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillahs. We should talk about be mispalel. This man gula, nissen nigalu, but nissen asidaligo, but come to this man gush, be takazaycha, to the gula, be meher yemenu omein.